Brian Gutman is with Education Trust Midwest. Brian, welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks for having me again.
So can you tell me, what does this spending plan mean for school districts if enacted?
Yeah, so if enacted, I think one really important thing is that this is an on-time budget. It provides certainty to schools before their fiscal years go into place at the beginning of next month about what resources they will actually have to spend. We've heard a lot from schools over the years about just how difficult the budget cycles not matching up are, particularly during these last couple of years when there have been so many questions about what spending's actually going to look like. So it provides some certainty. That's a really important start. And it's due to leaders on both sides of the aisle, putting aside political differences and really delivering a budget for students in schools first. And that's something that we should be celebrating.
You know, I think the legislature, though it's had some bobbles along the way, has gotten much better about getting spending plans to schools earlier than maybe they used to a decade ago or so. We are in an incredibly divided time in government. Do you find it surprising that they are able to get this close to a plan?
It makes me optimistic. At the end of the day, I was struck at how close the House plan was to some of the priorities that the governor laid out. And it does make me optimistic that we can have our differences, we can have our debates at the state policy level, and ultimately make sure that, and you're right, in the last decade, most of the budgets have been delivered on time or early, and be able to provide that certainty. And be able to provide, in many cases, funding and policy changes that really are intended to focus on students first.
So let's talk a little bit about the funding portion of it. We're talking about a per pupil funding structure of about $8,700 per student and an 8% increase overall in spending for the school aid fund. Can you tell me how this would be landing on districts and how it would be received if it goes through?
If this goes through, everybody has something to gain, and you know, that makes celebrating a budget a little bit easier. But the reality is it's taken a long time to get here on the foundation allowance, and we've got a whole lot further to go. So as you may recall, that common foundation allowance, which is likely to be talked about a lot, is almost 30 years in the making. This has been a goal of Proposal A from the early 1990s. What it doesn't do is it doesn't base funding on the needs of students. And we really can't afford another 30 years of waiting for students to actually be funded based on their needs. If this proposal or something very similar to it goes into effect, we really need to pivot. And we really need to focus on making sure that regardless of where a student enters into the school system, regardless of what their needs are, that we're funding those needs so that they have meaningful access to opportunity, so that they truly have the supports they need to succeed. Michigan has a long, long way to go on that front.
So you're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I'm hearing is this goes a long way to correct for some gaps, but it doesn't address issues of equity in funding and equity in education.
This addresses gaps between districts. It doesn't address gaps between students and student needs. Our students don't have the time. We can't see another three generations of students start and finish school before we finally start focusing on what does it actually take to educate the student who's entering the classroom.
Is what you're talking about something that could be addressed in a funding model, or would it have to be addressed on the policy side?
It can be addressed in a number of different ways, and we have some mechanisms already in place. So, for example, this budget nearly doubles funding for English learners. It nearly doubles funding for young children 0 to 3 with disabilities through the Early On program. Those are really important starts. It slightly increases at-risk funding, which is used to help support the additional learning needs of students from low-income families, foster-involved youth, and homeless students. But that funding isn't nearly enough to actually meet their needs. And so as the state moves forward, it's going to be increasingly important that we that we utilize additional future funding to really focus first on the unmet needs of underserved students in this state.
Could we go back for a moment, Brian, and revisit Proposal A, what it did to funding and how this maybe makes up for some of that?
Sure. So Proposal A, which again, nearly 30 years ago passed, really pivoted the state from funding school districts based on primarily property taxes and property values to our current system. Most of our school money comes from state sales tax. And the goal at the time was to take large gaps that existed in school district funding levels and to close them. And frankly, if that's your goal, there's been a lot of success, and this budget is the last step in that process, where school districts would receive a common base funding of $8,700. Again, it took a long time to get there, and it addressed the gap between school district funding. It wasn't designed and hasn't addressed the gap between unique student needs. Mm-hmm.
So which districts would arguably walk away happiest?
Yeah, so the reality is that the vast, vast majority of Michigan school districts were funded this year at the lower base funding level. So it brings them up. We're somewhere in the range of about 85% of districts that are receiving that common funding level. You have a handful of districts who are outside of Michigan's formula. But really, what we've seen over the last three decades is this leveling of funding between school districts to close what used to be pretty significant gaps. And that has largely been resolved over many, many budgets, including this most recent budget that's now up for Senate consideration.
Do you expect the Senate will get on board with it, even though there's no indication yet that they are going to approve it? Just given the time crunch, do you think the pressure will create enough of an incentive to pass this budget?
I think that there's a lot in this budget that reflects broad priorities. Certainly we've seen in the House, and I don't recall a budget passing with as much bipartisan support as this one did.
I know.
And I think it is likely that the eventual Senate budget will probably include many, if not all, of the key components of this budget. We've talked a lot about the foundation allowance. There are some other really important funding needs met in this budget. I mentioned funding for young students with disabilities. There's also additional special education costs provided. And bilingual education. We've also seen things that are going to be really important given the nature of the pandemic. So things like additional wraparound services to support physical and mental health needs of students, attendance recovery to make sure that kids who have disengaged are having services that are intended to re-engage them. Things like funding for early literacy and early learning programs that have been such a long time focus for the state. There's a number of priorities that are prominent in this budget that I think are broadly reflective of where elected leaders on both sides of the aisle are. So it makes me hopeful that the Senate will pass a budget that accomplishes many of these priorities on time.
So, Brian, this incredible boost in funding comes as the result of a windfall from the federal government with COVID-19 relief funds. So is this model or this presentation of how schools might be funded sustainable going forward? Or is this something where we will just go back in a year or 3 years and find ourselves in the same predicament we were, 3 years ago?
You know, we do tend to have this conversation when federal dollars are involved. Is this sustainable or not? And I think I would look to the broad picture of Michigan's budget, not only this slice of the pie. At the end of the day, our lawmakers are being asked to set priorities. Are they prioritizing the common foundation allowance? Are they prioritizing the needs of the student in the classroom? Are we funding prisons or are we funding schools? There are many, many needs, of course, throughout state government. Ultimately, these spending levels are sustainable if public education remains a priority. And that's with or without the additional federal dollars. There is some additional federal money that hasn't been spent. And that provides a real opportunity for state leaders to go beyond the bounds of this budget and really invest in systemic improvements that focus on how we help the most vulnerable students, the most underserved students, be supported, particularly following a year and a half of pandemic education and very different schooling than we've been used to.
Brian Gutman is a director with the Education Trust Midwest. Brian, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.